Any question? Okay.
I'm weighing it.
We need a volunteer. What? Question? Oh, somebody has a question. What is it?
I want to know if you could tell us a little bit about this translation modifications. How do you sort of start the first day? How do you think it's the right time to start for the day?
Are you talking about the translation of the
modifications
that what?
For some English translation that we're preparing to.
You mean for the volunteer work I proposed last time?
The project.
The project of Masnavi? But you wanted to know, yes, there is a lot to say. They're going to work in it. The general idea is to have an understandable or tangible translation, because precise translation is impossible, because you cannot take something from one language to another language. Therefore, it's not translation, it's interpretation. That interpretation is a very difficult stuff, and it's a heavy responsibility. First of all, we could reduce the responsibility by not giving the definitive interpretation, give them the choices, a couple of words, because that would help. Of course, we don't give a precise versing just like some poetic language over there, but at least we could add some other words to expand the meaning of the word. Two, we could forget about the Victorian politeness of Nicholson and write down a simple today English language. Well, that's a lot. So we'll start with that idea. How are we going to do it? What are we going to do with the Arabic one? Because there should be some hint that these are in Arabic, these are the verses. If we want to give all the references, it would be a never-ending job. Really, it would be a never-ending job.
I asked about...
So we start with the simplest thing. That's why we choose the simplest translation which already exists. I explained it, I believe, that nobody has the right for the text of Rumi, but everybody could claim for some sort of interpretation, translation, or whatever. Our intent is to put this as an open source to public. So we disclaim all the royalties and things like that. And we'll try to leave it open. Maybe in the future the people could add to it, could modify it, things like that. I believe these directions, these directives would help a lot. How many are you, and are you, have you started something, or are you ready for it?
Something's been started, yes.
Okay, whatever information you need, just ask. We could, even when you discuss it and we go a little bit further, we could have gatherings and talk about it, because yes, that's a very serious big project, and we all know that it's big, but inshallah we'll do it, because we are a lot, and we have a lot of capabilities to do it. If you have enough enthusiasm, you do it. We are not thinking about, I'm not thinking about a rigid form, because I believe in a rigid form that somebody will give the explanation. But that's not my style, and it's not the way I learned it, because I mainly combined different interpretations. I was fortunate to have the connection to the different sources, from black and white of the religious interpretation up to atheist one. Then I realized that all of them will help. All of them is looking at it from one special angle. And more angle you know, clearer idea you could have about this complex way of thinking, because the difficulty is there. The tendency of the human brain is to oversimplify everything to black and white. Remember, it started from the beginning, right at the beginning of life. What's happening at the beginning of life? Do you remember what happens at the beginning of life? Something, some phenomenon, quote-unquote intelligence, appeared. This intelligence was the result of an illusion. That's the first thing we know. Illusion of separation. Illusion of being me and the rest of the universe. That's the basic of intelligence. Ego is there. So, animal is egocentric. It has started like that. And it has been like that for a long, long time. So it's our habit. We want to oversimplify the things. One of the main principles I firmly believe in, and I say firmly believe in, philosophically and mathematically, because I learned it over the pure science, that you have to open up to new way of thinking and let go of oversimplification. Oversimplification is the base of the philosophy which was raised in Greek around 2,000 years ago. They started this kind of philosophy, this thinking pattern, which everything is good or bad, and there is nothing in between. They didn't believe in gray part, and they said the gray part is where we cannot really understand. But one day it will be clear. That one day is here now. Scientifically, it's proved that there is no clarity at all. It is proved that the basic of our reason was oversimplification. That's the part of cybernetics I bring in my teaching. One of the main rules of this new science is that there is no one cause, one effect. There is no such thing. There are a couple of causes to make an effect happen, and each cause has several different effects. So it's a chain. It's not some linear thing that we do this, therefore this will happen. We do this, we change the chain of probabilities. Before, we believed in what I prefer to call Stone Age of Science. In the Stone Age of Science, everything was written on stone. Everything was sharp. Later we realized there is no such stuff. We realized the limitation of mathematics. We realized what the problem of that infinite sign is. There is no such a thing. It cannot exist. Then we realized that it's a pattern and there is randomness in the universe. In nowadays physics, we believe that a couple of levels down from, let's say, molecular and the atomic level, six steps lower, it's chaos. I mean, chaos scientifically, and an order will come out of it. There is this random vibration of atoms in the universe which will make a hum. So, nowadays we realize nothing is written on stone. The new science for me starts with Heisenberg. Heisenberg is famous for his loveliest theory, which is
uncertainty.
Yes, and he certainly proves it that there is no certainty. This is the moment we are living in. So we have to understand it at this level. So we open up to different layers of meaning to language. This is new hermeneutics. We understand that there are layers of meaning. There is no sharp meaning for some words. There is no such a thing. So all these flexibilities I interpreted to be inclusive, not exclusive. To bring in the different ideas and believe that the opposite could live happily together forever. It's not that the opposite will eliminate each other. The opposites actually could be friends. Do you know any friend opposites?
Black and white.
Pardon me?
Night and day.
Night and day. I find it very difficult to prove the friendship to that little kid over there. You remember? Simpler than that. I gave it to you. I told you that I learned it in childhood. That was one of the most important lessons I learned. A coin. Two sides of a coin. They are the opposite side of a coin. And they cannot let go of each other. Because they live happily ever after. Opposition is not black or white. There are a lot of colors here. So, even in the meaning is that. And we have to pay attention to this. Why a special attention to this subject?
Because that's what Rumi's teaching is about.
Because that's what we are. We are that difference. Remember something. Please do not forget this. How could we do this? That you will not forget something. I don't know, write it down with a special good color, paint it, put it on the wall, put it on the fridge. Remember, before humanity, there is no good or bad.